One of the biggest challenges of Rosh Hashanah, in my humble opinion, and especially you guys are way past Shana Aleph, like so past it, but certainly for the Shana Aleph guys, but I think, being honest with you, for even somebody who's over 40, what am I doing here? And this is a really strange question, which I think, and I'm not going to do this because I don't want to embarrass you, most people actually wouldn't be able to answer. And that is, what is the point of Rosh Hashanah? I know it sounds like remarkably crazy, but if I was to ask you that, why are you here? What is the point of Rosh Hashanah? I'm not going to ask you that, but does anybody want to answer that question? What is the point of Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah all about? I'm not going to embarrass you, obviously. I don't do that. That's not who I am. Does anybody want to guess? What's the point of Rosh Hashanah? It's crazy to say that, right? Every other holiday, we basically know what's going on, right? So Pesach is like, hello, hi, you'd see us in Mitzrayim. You should go here. Sukkot, okay, maybe a little bit more difficult, but we got the hut thing, and we get it. Something about outside and something about, Ananei Kavod or maybe in the desert. Okay? Shavuos, that's an obvious one. What is the point of Rosh Hashanah? It sounds crazy. What do you think? Come on, help me. Yes?
We thought it's about forgiving yourself, mainly.
Forgiving yourself?
Yeah.
I was going to say there are no wrong answers in this, but that was... No, okay. forgiving yourself. Wrong. Very interesting that you said it that way. Can you tell me why you said it like that, forgiving yourself?
Because it's impossible for you to know if Hashem forgives you, and we just right. Sort of on you.
Okay.
And so I think it's more of a blessing for us, so that we can do kapara, and then if we feel good enough about ourselves, and we know that we've done a good enough job within ourselves.
Excellent. Excellent English answer. Yes. Good. Yeah. So would I be correct in interpreting it's a day of forgiveness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and is it the tone for the rest of the year until...
The tone for the rest of the year. Give me more information about that. Meaning the tone for the rest of the year, meaning what? I'm going to ask a question and tell me. So some would argue, as for sure on Yom Kippur, we could argue, like there's a little bit of a fakeness to this day, right? And you I don't know if you've experienced this. Certainly when I grew up, I remember, you always have those people that come to shul two times or three times a year, right? So we actually used to sit in the back of the shul. I have a machlikas with my father Shlita. I actually thought it was because my father didn't want to be in the front because it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In any case, so there would be a lot of people in the back who would just come a few times a year. So like, what do you think Hashem's like? What's going on here? Like he doesn't know. So all of a sudden you have real kavana. You scream. It's almost the same question about during a Seder Tshuva. So now you're waking up more, you're scared, you're not having Pas Akum, you're having Pas Yisrael, maybe you go to the mikvah and every Yom Kippur. What does that mean, setting the tone? Like what, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess just stick to yourself, try to like set it, like if you want to like improve, then it's like, okay, here's like a good time to like start, I guess.
If I can embellish it a little bit, maybe, hey, God, this is who I want to be. This is me. This is really me. I'm a good guy. We're all good people. I always remember, I'm going to actually do a lot of quoting of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, but I always remember Rav Aaron says something startling, which it's obvious, intuitive, we should know, but he says there's a major difference between Judaism and Christianity. Christianity, in their belief, there's no Torah here, not so I can say this, right? In their belief, what do they believe? They believe that the soul comes damned, right? The whole Gansa Maisa with Jesus, right? And you have to perfect your soul. Now, we mamash believe the opposite. We say every morning, Elokai neshamahi tahorihi. My body is tahor. What do? Unfortunately, every year I blacken it up with sin. But it's tahor. It's totally tahor of my sham. And I could work on that every single day. Waking up in the morning and saying, Moda ana lefanecha, Elokai, thank you for giving me another chance. Let me make this neshama a good one. Anybody else? Rosh Hashanah? What's the point of Rosh Hashanah? So it sounds strange, and I'm not tell you that you're wrong. You're not wrong, of course, but what's interesting about the day is there's very, very little to do with actual tshuva, right? There's no slichos on this day. We don't say any slichos. In fact, there are poskim who say, and there are some, interestingly enough, have an amazing sefer called Mikrei Kodesh. We have it here in the Beis Medrash in some box. And so Mikrei Kodesh is written by, not the one written by Rav Pesach Frank, or Rav Harari, still alive, Miracles HaRav. He's got these wonderful svarim. So there he writes that there are those poskim, specifically Svarish poskim, who say that even Avinu Malkeinu was a question. Some are question, how can you say Avinu Malkeinu? What's the first thing? Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefanecha. That's not appropriate for this day. And there's some Sfarad Shapoishim who says, yeah, that's, you shouldn't say that line. Don't say Chatan al-Panach. I'll say the good things. That's it. Sanatoykov is a big question. How can I say Sanatoykov? It's not a day. So saying it's not a day of tshuva, what is it? So I like actually the way that you put it, both of you, because that's maybe exactly it. It's a way that we kind of forgive ourselves and kind of, and this is the hardest part of tshuva, by the way, move on. Just move on. Forget about it. And this is a big deal. We don't believe in harping on the past. It's a crazy thing. And in fact, every single holiday that we have is not a day of remembrance. It's not a day of commemoration of what happened. No, it's to take that holiday and say, well, what can I take from this holiday moving forward? We know that the central theme of the holiday is Malchus Hashem. Malchus. No question about it. A Mamlech Hashem. Right? And that, look at the everything we're going to discuss. Hashem Melech Hashem. Malchus, everything, that's the whole day. Everything we dominate. Malchus Hashem. What does that mean, though? And I think that you hit it on the head beautifully. And that is exactly it. The day is about coronating the king. So what? And then basically saying, am I a good servant of the king? Who am I in this whole thing? Now, obviously, if you really believe, right, I hope, this room, am I correct or not, is this room still used as like an internet room during the break?
Yes.
My guys come in, right? Yeah. So, thanks. I didn't know it was up. So why did you move, by the way? Yeah, I like you here better. So anyway, so listen.
Should I listen?
No, I like you here. So the listen to this, guys. The internet room. So let me ask you a question, right? Sean Alf guy, typical Sean Alf guy. He's in the internet room, and do you think he would watch things that he normally watches in private if the rabbis were sitting here having a meeting? So obviously, I hope not, depending who you are.
You do have a filter.
Right, you have a filter. So let's say you have a phone without a filter, whatever it is.
Okay.
You wouldn't do it. Now, if you recognize right before you sinned that the Melech was there, your dad was there, you know, they tell the story, not the story, the Midrash, of course, about Yosef Atzad. He's about to sing with Eishes Potiphar, and what does he see? Dumuk Yuchno Vodam. Now, I'll tell you something fascinating. You're going to love that. I hope you're going to love this as much as I do. I actually found a medrash that says something remarkable. It wasn't his father's image.
It was him.
Right, because we learned that he looked like his father. How do we know that he looked like his father? Because people were going to, right, he used to look like his father, just like Avram, because, right, with Yitzhak, they all look like each other. So he looked at himself, like you said, an older self, and said, is this what, imagine if before you sin, you were able to do that, and say, right, they say before a person gets angry, you go, count to 10. Most probably you're not going to scream at the person. But if you took a step back for a moment, you're about to tell Lashon, sometimes you get lucky right before you sin, like something gets into your head and you're like, I'm not doing this. I'm turning around, I'm not doing it. But if your Mamlech Hashem, the Melech was here, you wouldn't do that sin. Or as you correctly said, if you look into yourself, it's like, come on, I'm really a good guy. What am I doing this for? Is this worth it? Should I do this? There's a great story that it's a number of years ago. I don't know. Listen, you guys have something different. Whatever. I don't want to say I'm a VIP, but I have an account with, I don't know if you've heard of this website before, YouTube. And because I'm on such a high level, they recommend things for me. So one of the things they recommended for me, they're good people. One of the things they recommended for me was a video that I saw, I think it's from 2014, I don't think it's from this year. And it's about this great group, maybe, no, I think you'll tell me in a moment. Ellen. The great Ellen. Yeah. So Ellen had on these two African-American kids. Well, they like to call them black. They're black now. They're black kids. And in high school. And there was a kid who's being bullied through his entire life. He has autism or whatever it might be. And he was being bullied like crazy.
Why is this recommended for you?
So it was fascinating to see it. Anyway, it was crazy what they gave it. Will Smith then came out, and Will Smith's like, you guys did the greatest thing, whatever. But here's the point that I think why it was recommended for me. And you know, I like to justify my wasting of my time. If you go to my house, my internet, you know, people have what are their names, Hartstein Home, whatever. Mine's called Bittel Torah. So on my Bittel Torah internet, I'm watching this, and I think here's the reason why Hashem wanted me to watch this. He said something fascinating. He said that day, everybody was bullying this kid. I was laughing. I was there. I was the bully. This kid said it. I was bullying him. I was laughing. And then something clicked in my brain. That's not who I am. I'm better than that. But what were they bullying him about? That he wears the same clothes every day. It's a He said, let me not just apologize to him, let me do something about it. And he went out and he bought him new sneakers, whatever. And then, of course, Will Smith bought him everything. They all got $10,000 checks. And yeah, you get a car. You get a, okay, anyway, that's somebody else. So what's the point of the... That's the perfect part. Rosh Hashanah, you stop and go, wait a minute, that's not me. That's not real. I did some bad sins, but that's not me. You're the Melech. And we say the Holy... No, don't do tshuva. Not now. Aser Semei Tshuva is for tshuva. Yom Kippur, that's for tshuva. You're going to scream, you're going to cry, you're going to... That's not the day. It's the day to be mamlechem. And what is the only... There's, you know, every holiday's got its thing, right? Some have more than one thing. The physicality of the holiday. Sukkot has got its lulav and esrog. Pesach, I don't know, got its matzahs, right? Shavuos is unique that it doesn't have a thing.
Cheesecake.
Right? Cheesecake, all maybe. Torah, right? Torah is in itself. Okay. What does Rosh Hashanah have? It's got one thing.
Uman.
No, come guys, Shofar. Shofar. Uman. So I didn't put it on while you tour, but I have my I was just actually reading Rav Aviner. My father gave me a father cleaned out my father's a tremendous amount of svarim. So I was zuchad zchus little by little when I come back from America I'm bringing some of the svarim back. So he has this that's called Rav Aviner on the air. And it's a questions and answers for Rav Aviner. Just tells it like it is. He doesn't care what people have to say. So he was asked a question about Uman, and apparently a number of years ago, they signed the letter, the greatest gedolim in that time, Rav Yoshev, Rav Avad Yosef, Mordechai Eliyahu, then Rav Dov Lior, all said you can't go to Uman. You know, the famous story of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I'm sure you heard the story in a different way, but they said on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he used to go by Har Herzl. I don't know if that's true. I know he told somebody to go to Har. And he said, that's the tzaddikim, then I'm going to daven. I'm going to daven by the soldiers. That's the Melech Yochim. But certainly, Avram, he's like, he goes, hey, Rav Nachman Breslov always quotes the Rashbi. He's going to tell you to go to my kever with the 18 coins and get tshuva. More that doesn't make sense. Anyway, but that's a different topic for now. It would be a nice year I could give one day. So let's start the sheet. Let's look at what is the power of the shofar. What is shofar doing? And I think this will explain what the holiday is. And hopefully, you'll take a little bit of what I'm saying now and actually think about it when the shofar is being blown. Because I always have this difficulty. It's funny. I looked online to see. I gave this shiur 6 years ago. It was a long time ago. Maybe 7 years ago. And then I gave this shiur like 14 years ago. A shiur similar to this. I'm not going to be using everything, and the whole introduction is different. But so I said then, I retired from blowing shofar, because when I first started in the yeshiva, Rav Jake was the amazing shofar blower. They didn't need me anymore. And since then, a lot of things have happened. They opened up a shul, and I blew shofar there, and now I've been blowing shofar there. And in fact, I won't even, Rosh Hashanah, I'll be there for the entire time, and dabbing in the oil. So yeah, but you'll see me Yom Kippur, hopefully. So anyway, Vayit B'Shas Pleiskim. So what is the point of the shofar? So when I blow shofar, this is a hard thing. What should you be thinking about? Kavanas nishem yichud and other. So what? So let's look at the Rambam. Mitzvah asher shel Torah, source which should be one. Mitzvah asher shel Torah lishmaya truas hashofar Rosh Hashanah. Shenamar yom truah yilecha. No question. The day is about shofar blowing. There's shofar shetokim bo. What kind of shofar should it be? Ben Rosh Hashanah ben Yovel who karen hakvasim hakafuf. Telling us a lot of things. It's the horn of a keves. What's the best animal to use for the shofar? A ram, right? And hakavus. What do kafuf means? What does kafuf mean?
Horns.
What's kafuf? Not hakavus. Kafuf is bent over. All shofars, and that's what's unique about the ram. It's weird. It has this. It's kafuf, right? It's like the way we should be on. Right? It's down. It's up. Should be kafuf. Hashofar, so he says, which shofar is pasul? So he says, you're not allowed to use a shofar of a cow, because that reminds us of Kedis Yitzchak. But other than that, people use different types of shofars. It goes through exactly what can be done, what not. The Haggah says, Amar Avraham, I'm sorry, Haggah. The Ravid says, Amar Avraham, Hefriz al midoso elu mitzvos ha-koifim ve'itakea b'shel ya'el yotzah. So he says, really, it should be kafuf. What if you have a shofar that's straight? I don't know. So he says, the shofar of the Ya'el is straight. So you have different types of animals, for example. Somebody said to me a few years ago, I remember. This is like a unicorn. Like the unicorn horn. I'm like, are you serious now? And this is like, I'm getting into an argument about the unicorn. Okay. That's where I always slip into class. Not my class. So, but if it's straight. So it's interesting. lahalacha, this is Paskin, the Mishnah Berurah, a person should use a ram's horn. What am I saying? Everybody uses a ram's horn, right? That's not true. The Sfardim, those are not ram's horns.
What are they?
They're called ibexes. There's different types of it. If you go to Rabbi Slifkin's, which I went to, actually went there in Erev, a few days before Rosh Hashanah once, they have a tremendous exhibit about the shofars and different types. So really, la halacha, that's better not to, I don't know the Sfardim, why they use it, but that's better not to use that. I have a friend who actually came here, he blew shofar 1 year, Akiva Danto, and he's got a long shofar, Yechugai, I know. So he has that long shofar, and that's how he blew shofar. He's actually got a really funny story. The shul needed someone to blow shofar, and they asked him, and he said, I really never did it in many years, I'm really nervous, and it was like only a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So he had to practice, but he had no time to practice, because by the time he gets home from work, it was too late at night, wake up the kids, whatever. So he says, I have a great idea. I have a long drive to Tel Aviv to work every day. I'll take my shofar with me. But imagine, it's the long ones. So he would be, I would be in the car, and I would be holding on one line and blow it. Says, can you imagine? Only in Israel. Most people are probably like, yeah, that makes sense. Right, blowing out the window. Okay, crazy. So really, you should use a yal. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the source number two, Tavkuf Pei Vav, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvasel B'Shel Ayil, V'Kafuf. It really should be an ayil, not at least you say, Kev, it's really an ayil. U'B'Di'Evet Kol Shofar Es Kesherim, Ben Pshutim, Ben Kfufim, U'Mitzvah Kafuf Yoser, right, it's better than Pshutim. Shel Parez Pasol, V'Chula. Magen Avraham, why? Why a ram? So we know the whole story, beautiful story, what the ram represents, Akedas Yitzchak, it's a big day to remind ourselves that we're almost like bringing a korban, and instead of ourselves, right, we remind him of the ram, what happened over there. Lezecha Akedas Yitzchak, the kafuf, why kafuf? She yikafufu libam lamakom. You should bend your heart towards the Rono Shalom. One more source, and then I'll give you some gravy. The Birke Yosef, the Chidah says, "Ubimakom shekiblu aleihem haras Rambam im einlem shofar shel keves kafuf einlem levarach b'shar shofras." The Rambam's halacha is you should use a shofar that's kafuf. So it's seemingly so important, according to the Birke, it's ma'akev the bracha. Amazing. What's with this kafuf? So, first part. Many, many, many years ago, before you were born, if that's possible, I heard a shir. And I don't know the source of this. This could have been the first, like, there used to be a thing, I don't know if you ever heard of it before, it's called the tape recorder. So the tape recorder, right, similar to this, like, thing called a radio, right? It was a tape recorder. It's like an old thing. So the tape recorder was amazing because it let you listen to things. My father gave me a shir from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was my father's Rebbe, later would become my Rebbe. Much later. And I really don't know how old I was. I want to pretend I'm a tzaddik and say I was like three, no, or right, even eight would be good. And I remember listening to the shir, and I remember years later remembering part of the shir, and I remember years later trying to scounder around and find this tape. I still have a tape recorder in my house. It's amazing. It's worth $2,000. No, I still have it, and I think I still have the shir. And one of the points, and I'll give you the two points that he made, the point number one was, what does kafuf mean? He says, yes, a person has to realize that I am subservient to the king. He is the king. Thank God I don't have to live under any dictatorship. But he's the one, and I should follow his ways and his statutes, and I want to get close to him. And I want to be like him. I heard you listening to Lessons from the Lathe. So I'll tell you, the Lessons from the Lathe today, we spoke about, I have a cousin who's getting married, Baruch Hashem. Unfortunately, I can't be there. Jake Gantrow. And so I was talking about how our whole concept, marriage is about, we're supposed to be imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam. The highest level, marriage is the highest level. Under the chuppah, right, it's the Sharsha Shechin, the Shechin is there. That's why it says, a mechaper yichol avoynos. It's a very auspicious time. But marriage is all about, right, similar to what we speak about during Elul. Ani ledodi vedodi li, like, it's marriage we have the Rabbanu Shalom. So if a husband is not Neman, is what I spoke about today, by Neman B'Yisrael, he's dishonest, that's the foundation. But the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to you and he says, wait, one second. You want me to have Rachmanis on you? That's what you're asking for? You're basically, you know you weren't good. What are you saying to God? Listen, please don't use me this Hadeh. And the shofar starts to signify that in a number of ways. Ways number one is this kafuf that we just spoke about. Oh yes, I should say really way number one, one. One is that we're using dafka, the ram's horn, to remind us of a yitzhak. But way number two is kafuf. That's the way I want to be. And this is remarkable. The shofar is basically acting as who we can be. I'm not that guy. Somebody asked me a few years ago, right? He davened in a certain yeshiva. I don't want to give any names. And he says, in this yeshiva, they do a lot of screaming and clapping, and they're doing all these things. He says, how should I react to that? So I told him a story. I think the story comes from Rav Jake, if I remember correctly. I think he related the story. And this is the yesod, I think. He goes into a shul. This guy davens in a shul, whatever. Maybe he's there for Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure. And he says the following. He says, goes up to the rabbi of the shul, and he says, listen, I'm not really from your orthodoxy. Maybe, you know, I'm just making this up. Chassidish. And the shul was minor orthodox. He says, listen, I really get into it in tefillah. And I usually go crazy. I kind of scream davening out a little bit, you know. I might clap here and there. Trying to have rishus from the rebbe, that's okay. And the other shul's like, yeah, absolutely not. We don't do that in our shul. People are going to look, you can't do it, I'm sorry. So guys, what is he going to do? So he tries his best not to, and he can't. It's Rosh Hashanah. And he starts screaming a bit and clapping and talking, and he feels horrible. So it's Rosh Hashanah, you know. He goes up to ask Mechila from the Rav. And the Rav says, what are you asking Mechila for? It's fine. So, what? Do we just have a conversation like an hour? You know? He says, no. That was planned screaming and clapping. That I don't allow. Here, you had a taiba. That's who you are. That's fine. I have no problem with that. What's the difference? This is what we're talking about here. I want to be kafuf. I get it. I'm a kafuf type of person. I really believe that I want to be kafuf to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is my king. And I really should walk there. Some people actually, this is a halacha, this quote in the Shulchan Aruch, that really there are people who daven all of Rosh Hashanah with their head down. Embarrassed who they are. So we have this shofar that's like acting like the way I really want to be. It's this silent feel. My feel is not going to be perfect on Rosh Hashanah. Oh my God, there's so many pewter. It's crazy. So annoying. So long. So I have the shofar. And the second point, really now the third point, is what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 5. V'tov l'tokeya b'tzad yomim. The Shulchan Aruch says, where should you blow shofar? Not on your left side, on the right side. Why? This is the Rama speaking. Im efshe l'tokeya b'kach. V'chein yehafu v'chash shofar l'mala. It should be up in the air, going up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Elokim b'sruah. Why is that? So here's the famous line. Look at source number 6. Mishum dechsev, the satan omen al yamin al sitnoi. He's up there, the satan standing right there, and he's trying to get to you. Right? Imagine this is the satan, he's sleeping, and you blow the shofar of the satan. You blow the shofar, and what happens? He wakes up. And he's like, oh shoot.
Shouldn't you not want to wake up the satan?
Oh, yeah, okay. So really, that's not what that... I was kidding. What's really happening is the satan's over there and he's trying to counteract. We have a satan in our lives all the time talking to us and telling us, oh, no, come on, do that. Yeah. It's Tuesday night. Just go out. Go to venue. Come on, it's Tuesday night. Yeah, you're a good guy, right? No Torah Tuesday. Come on.
Yes, Torah Tuesday.
No. Ubashla, shekel nachan, apia kabbalah. Gok kalavush. Because of the small mipnei, shat tefillin b'yimin ha-minicho. He says there's a different reason. It's because of where we wear tefillin, although the poskim say, again, Moedim says the, what do you call it? Moedim Zvanim says that a person should, even if he's a lefty like I am, still you blow in the right. It counteracts something. And it's ma'arev et ha-satan. It confuses the satan. So Rav Aaron asked a good question. And this is good. And I promise you said it like I'm about to say.
What's the satan stupid?
Every year this happens. Every year, every Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. Why? To confuse the satan. The satan's like, oh, I guess I missed Rosh Hashanah because I didn't blow shofar. Oh, And then the next day, Shofar says, oh, shoot, Shofar started. I missed it again. What is it? He says, what does it mean to counteract the Satan? The Satan's standing right there by Shofar. I'm counteracting the Satan by doing it on the right side. Huh? Says Rav Aaron, counteract is as it says. I'm trying to work against the Satan with something even better. Something you can't touch. And that's this direct feeler that goes up to Shemayim. It's like the story about the child that goes into shul and he's moved by Rosh Hashanah davening, except he doesn't know how to read. So what does he do? Right. He knows what he knows. He knows the Aleph Bet, literally. And he just goes, Aleph Bet. Aleph Bet. And the Rebbe, as the story goes, that was the most beautiful tefillah. Why? It was sincere. The shofar is a sincere tefillah. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, and this is really important to think about, the shofar is an awesome sound. La halacha, what's the sound of the shofar? There's a tekiah and a teruah. We're not sure if the teruah is a shvarim, but it's shvarim or teruah. It's called a yuvava. What's a yuvava? It's crying. So the machlek is, how do we cry? Some people cry like a teruah, and some people cry, right? Different types of crying, and that's what it is. It's crying. So, yes, it's the day of tshuva. We're crying to the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is our tefillah of crying. I, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, but every single tekiah, every single teruah has to have a tekiah. What's tekiah? The calm. Everything's going to be okay. Forget about the past. Cry. You have to do tshuva. Don't get me wrong. But everything's going to be good. God only gives challenges to people who can handle the challenges. Everything's going to be okay. Before and after, there has to be a tekiah. And in fact, the halach is, if the tekiah is not perfect, if you, right, the tekiah is not straight, so you go, it's a set. It's part of a set. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, counteracting is exactly that. I'm not confusing Larry, I'm not confusing the shatan, I'm counteracting him. I'm saying, no, I have this. This is more important than you trying to stumble me. I get it. And that's why the Bir Halacha says it's like we have in war. Well, it's okay, I'm a shofar bil mechama. I need to counteract. It's yes, it's to wake us up. It's not to wake us up like you think. This guy's sleeping, I want to wake him up. So I put a shofar in his ear. Ha ha. It's not that type of waking up from your slumber. It's not that. You're waking up from saying, what are you doing? There's a famous line that's used in this time. Ara Yushag, that a lion roars. And you're not going to be scared from it? So, Chaim Kanievsky asked a good question. Just this year, I heard this. He said, the lion, Yishag, was he roared. Isn't it the lion will roar? Right? I heard a good analogy. That makes sense. Right? You go out, you didn't like, for some reason, you don't like vegetarian schnitzel. And you go out to, Meat Bar. And you're out, thank you. You're out on En Gedi. And you see a lion. Bah, you go. So what do? Right? You go nuts. It's crazy. Now, what if you go into the Merkaz and, you know, I don't know if you, like, this time of the year, the kids, like, at night, they have, like, pony ride. Some guy, say, 5 shekel, I'll show you my lion. It's in a cage. You're not scared at all. It's in a cage. You go to a zoo. You're like, oh, my God, a lion. We're going to die. Everybody. It's in a cage. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you know what it means? The lion? It's the lion of last year. How was your Rosh Hashanah last year? Did you counteract the Sultan this year? That's what it's all about. And that's why the Gemara says here in source number 8, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, this whole concept, the Mishnah says, Shol Shol Rosh Hashanah Shal Ayah, the Pasha, it can't be Mesupah Zahav, and it has to be Kofifim. And the Gemara says, "Mitzvah shall Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippurim koyfim v'shal kol Hashanah." B'pshutim, because on Rosh Hashanah dafka, it needs to be the submissive shofar, if you will. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, that's our form of tefillah. Source number 9, Rashi says, "B'tefilasoi ki koyfshim laretz b'Rosh Hashanah dilatefilah lezeichar kenes yitzach b'nyan koyfifim." The whole concept, it's our tefillah, is koyfefin. We actually go up to the Rebbe Shalom and say, listen, God, you know me better than anybody else. You know the first thing I did Rosh Hashanah morning was count the pages. And then I did the math. I said, okay, we're on page 150. Musaf is right. Musaf is over 798. Divided by 2, though, because of the English side. And then the things in the gray they don't say because it's not the Sabbath. We're going to be here for a while, you know? Fine. And you take out your books. Right? But instead, what do you have? You have this thing called tefillah, the silent tefillah that's called the shofar. And it's here to counteract. It's here to say to the Satan, stop, I got this thing. I got this thing that you don't have. God gave me the shofar of Akedas Yitzchak. And there's a whole, we don't have time to go through the whole story of Akedas Yitzchak and why and what happened there. The ultimate test, sacrificing your son. So, I want to skip a lot. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yossi Dov Soloveitchik, the brother of Aaron, says in source, the last source here, says, HaPashut, Didas Rashi, Debirchas Haim De Araisa, Rak, Kishahem Boim, Letzir Fatikius. He talks about the mitzvah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Musaf is our most powerful tefillah we have. It's our longest tefillah. There's nothing longer. I remember every year after my Shemona Esrei when I was a kid, my father would shake my hand. It's a big deal. Nowadays, even more. How are you able to hold that amount of time? It's the longest Shemona Esrei of the year. So he says, is it Doraisa or not? Aval birchos letzad mokum she'ein tkiyas einam elo midirabanan. It says, really shofars midirabanan. Aye, it says Yom Teruah Yelachem. It's because of the tefillos of Musaf. And in fact, in Nusach Svarat Shuls, and Rav Soloveitchik held, this is the way it should be in our shuls. I once davened in a shul like this, actually, who followed the minhag of Soloveitchik. They blew shofar in the silent Shemona Esrei. It's very powerful. You're in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. What? Yeah. In the middle of your Shemona Esrei, all of a sudden someone goes, yes. So I was actually blowing the shofar. It was the worst thing I ever had. The worst Shemona Esrei. Why? I wasn't as quick as the Tzibur. I was davening in some young Israel. I'm not going to say which one. It wasn't Woodbury. And it wasn't Woodbury. And maybe Nidhiroid. And the rabbi said, this is what we're going to do. No problem, whatever. So I was like literally on Mechayim Esim. And all of a sudden the rabbi goes, and I'm like, dude, I'm the shofar blower. I'm not ready. I had no choice. So it's very, it really.
Why did you do it?
Right. So then afterwards, I was in the middle of my Shemona Esrei. I'm trying to wish with him, hey, dude, I'm in charge. I'm blowing the shofar. And then I had to speed. I had to speed up. We know. We Jews know. Like I'm the salt guy. You're allowed to talk. Then you're allowed to talk. Right. So, says Rav Soloveitchik, that is your Shemona Esrei, and you do it in the silent Shemona Esrei. They're bothering Shalom. It's not perfect, my tefillah. So I'm going to blow shofar during this. He says, Ela de birchos below tekiyos. Pshitas hei midirabanan. The kiyas hei midiraisa afilu bababrachas klal. El inyun shoifas etel malchis rechonu shoflat venira baru mizeh kitnal. The kol ikur shofa huk le tefillah. The shofar is a form of tefillah. That's the chefsa he writes. The zeu ha chefsa shal shofar shal Rosh Hashanah. It's the silent tefillah. And that's, as I pointed out, this is the Netziv here in source number 15. This is what Rav Aaron said, based on the Netziv. Ein Teruah B'li Tekiyah. B'yom Simchaschem. Shein Tekiyah B'li Teruah. Ein Teruah B'li Tekiyah. The Yom Simcha. There's a Simcha to the day. The reason why there's no Tshuva on this day is because there is a Simcha to it. We spoke, if you remember, I don't know, so long ago, last week, we spoke about, is there Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? We said it's a bit of both. Schizophrenic Jew. I have to be happy, and I have to be concerned on this day. God gave you a day called Rosh Hashanah. He gave you 2 days called Rosh Hashanah. And many of the wonderful Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, our great rabbis, say that Elul's extended. It's a weird thing. Doesn't God judge us on Rosh Hashanah? What do I have a Seres Me'etshuva and Yom Kippur for that? It's over. God's like, all right, I'll give you a pass. I'm going to give you a few more days. Lahab deal. You go to the teacher, and you say, you have a WhatsApp group now. And you say, okay, everyone is going to go in tomorrow. We're going to tell the teacher we're not ready for the test. See if we can get another week to study. Like, it's going to help. And when you all come in with that power, the teacher's like, fine, I'll give you another week. The Rebbe Shalom says, okay, you did a good job, Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to give you a Aseres Me'etzuvah. Let's see how you act. What you said before is exactly that. Okay, let's see who you really are. And it could be, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, it's not that I'm faking God out and saying, okay, now I'm going to have Pas Yisrael. That's really who I am, God, right? Right? No. You're saying, I recognize this is a holier time, and really I should be having Pas Yisrael the entire year. Really, I shouldn't be speaking Lashon Hara the whole year. So I'm going to concentrate on Aseres Me'etzuvah more than any other week of the year, or 10 days of the year. It's different, it's special, miyuchad. Yes, son.
Is it tricking Hashem like you're tricking the...
So, no, so that I think what... Beautiful. You couldn't set me up better for a question. What Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is saying is no. It's not about tricking anybody. You know what? I'm sorry, I apologize. That's not correct. Let me rephrase. It's about tricking yourself. All my introductory shiurim to the wonderful Shana Aleph this year, I'm teaching all Shana Aleph except for one shiur. One shiur. Rav Usher's not here anymore. So I needed to have my Rav Usher. I'm not going to say who, but I have a Rav Usher this year. So my first shiur is exactly on this. Business in Halacha, my famous Chinuch. Acher Pulas Soldim Shech Levavais. My favorite Chinuch. Your actions follow your heart. What you do, your heart will follow. If I do more, if I'm a better person, I become better. I'm going to be a good person. That's the bottom line. If I hang out with bad people, I'm going to be a bad person. Moshev Leitzim Lo Yasha. The more I do good, the better person I'll be. Rebbe, I want to feel it to matter to me. So daven. Make it mean something to you. Don't just go in with a nebuch, with not an art scroll. You go into Rosh Hashanah, what are you, crazy? How are you going to follow davening? You don't have the Rosh Hashanah companion, the whatever, all these things you get. Great. Go out and buy it. Spend a little money. But I want to counteract. So I start doing things you're right I don't normally do. Oh, you send yourself room? You know, you'll have these posts are coming up soon, right? The posts of, for those who need to know, I'm off Instagram the entire, you know, hashtag, you know, 10 days of...
#disconnect.
Right, disconnect, 10 days of penance, you know, whatever. Right? I'm off my Tinder account. That's it, for 10 days. I'm off, right. And for people like... Very good. For people like me, you know, Facebook. We just... Okay. Facebook. I'm off Facebook. That's not really who I am. No, it's not Chas V'Shalom that I know. I don't want to go back to that. I know I'm spending too much time on the internet. That's what we're saying over here. But ultimately, the Netziv says, but there is a simcha to the day. You need to have the tekiyos. You almost should go to the guy who's crying on Rosh Hashanah. Stop! What are you doing? It's not the day of crying. If you're crying because you want to get closer to... Okay, there are different reasons. That's not what this day is about. It's really remarkable. It sets the tone so differently for what you should be doing on Rosh Hashanah. I should be so happy I have this shofar blowing. I should just be thinking and shofar blowing. This is my silent tefillah to Hashem. This is who I am. I want that lion to be in the cage, and I'm not really afraid because he's in the cage. He's not out on En Gedi. What does that mean? If we can go to the Rabbono Shalom with actual, real New Year's resolutions that mean something, that are little, it's a game changer. What do I mean? We often make the mistake, I've pointed this out many times, where we bite off too much. The gym next door. Beautiful gym. So what do we say? We say, that's it. Crazy. I'm so overweight. I gotta lose 30 pounds. And you go to the gym membership. Right? January 1st, January 2nd, gym membership. Gyms love this. And you're crazy about it for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. February comes, shkoyuch. Right? The joke about dafiyomi. First Masechta, brachas. Super fun. I'm a dafiyomi guy. Next Masechta, Shabbos. Joke. Bo Shabbos, bo menucha. Shabbos comes, that's it. You're resting. You're done. I'm out. I can't. It's too hard. Too challenging. So now you come to the Ribbono Shalom, and here's what you, I want to switch your minds and think this. The shofar reminds us of, slowly but surely. You come to the Ribbono Shalom, you say, God, I can't be totally off. That's crazy, totally off the internet. You know what? Maybe when I respect when a rabbi is giving a shiur, I'm not going to go on my phone. It's hard for me. I'm going to put my phone in my pocket not to have that taiva. I have to figure out how not to sleep during shiur. Somebody, wow, it was a big laugh. I'm going to actually look. You're going to hand it to my makom shiur. I'm going to look. I'm going to write. I'm going to... It's too late now. I'm going to... I want... Right, if you pretended, if I said to you, we don't have tests. If I said to you, no, I'm going to tell you over now something for Rosh Hashanah, I'm just asking you guys, please do me a favor. I want you to say this over at your Rosh Hashanah table. If I would have said that, in, you know, 40 minutes ago, maybe you would have... That's what I do all the time, by the way. I have this thing called Lessons from the Lave, started by Zach over here. You have this chus of a lot of people. Yeah. Says the guy who doesn't listen to whatever. But you started it. But for me, the point of it is it helps me out, because now anytime anybody says a vort, I listen carefully, because maybe I'm going to put it on Lessons from the Lave the next day. It's great. It makes me be more attentive. Or what am I going to do? I'm going to say, you know what, God? Here's what I'm going to try to do. Benching to me, big joke. I'm going to actually open my app. I'm going to say it from a bencher or from my phone. That's my thing now. You know the Shimon Esrei thing? Nobody's ever allowed to. If you need to borrow a sitter, you can't borrow my sitter. My sitter's got a lot of weird stuff in it. But one of the things you'll find in my sitter, it's got days on it. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that's the brachas. I made a deal with God. On Mondays, that's my atachonein day. That bracha I got to have special kavana for. Right? And Mondays also, because you do it twice. Whatever. Yerushalayim Yerucha, that's my bracha. That's a, so now what do you expect? You expect Hashem coming to... Seriously, Hartzi? You did all those Averas and that's what you're coming to me for? Ooh, wow, I'm going to have out of 90 brachas, 2 brachas. Yes. Because you're on the right path. Because you say, this is who I am. At least I'm trying. And you could come to last Rosh Hashanah and say, hey, I did some real change. I changed myself. Now, you're very lucky because you're coming in after Shana Aleph. So you've definitely changed your life compared to what you were last year. Talk about, you know, giving tefillah a chance in the mornings. So the guy's like, I don't know, it's crazy. I just can't wake up for David. I'm like, what time did you go to sleep last night? I don't know, like 3-4 in the morning. Why did you go 3-4 in the morning? So we start the conversation. I was just looking at one thing was recommended for me on YouTube, and then that led to something else recommended, and then I watch a full movie, and da da da. I try to do something. I don't think I could do this, but I would like to reach the level. My sister does this. My brother-in-law. Their phones are downstairs. They go to sleep 11. They're going upstairs 11, 10 o'clock at night. Put your phones downstairs.
It helps you sleep.
What? Helps you sleep. Helps you sleep. Right. BS. I don't believe it. I need it for an alarm. I don't have an alarm. Yeah, there's a thing called alarm clocks. So I'll stop it.
Krishma.
Right. Yeah, Friday night also. So, I need to see the score is going to come up. I'm not going to touch it. Okay. You need to do something little and say the Ribbono Shalom, I get what this day is about. You're the king and let me show you how I'm going to act. But I have to say, and I know I say this a lot and I apologize, but I love this idea. This is my Charlie Harari idea that he loves to use all the time. Charlie's idea is always about Avinu Malkeinu. He's my dad. I'm going to repeat this because you might have not heard this. Just let me do it once and then we'll be done and we can go to lunch. We're going down to the Kotel. We're on the trip, and we're to Shem in a month from now. I go on a trip with amazing people. Be 300 people there of all walks of life. Not religious people. 40, 50, basically 50, 60 years old. Some of them never been to the Kotel ever. And the way they look at life is exactly the way they look at Rosh Hashanah. I'm only coming to davening in my shul, my tent, whatever it is because God's going to zap me. I'm a horrible person. God hates me. By the way, all those bad things that happen to me because God hates me. Because I'm a Chal Shabbos. God hates me because I eat pork. God hates me because I have whatever. I have three wives. Whatever it is. And Charlie says, that's not true. God is your dad. Your dad always loves you. Avinu Malkeinu. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasach. The Bruch of Tshuva says, whoa, you're my dad. If we really thought of Hashem like that, our lives, should be different. Because yes, if you go to your father and say, hey dad, listen, I know you're really mad at me about X, Y, and Z that I did. Here's some practical things I'm going to do so that it doesn't happen again. Your father's going to be like, parents would be shocked, right? Wow, you really changed. Dad, I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try. He's like, that's a world of change. You know, Dad, I normally lie to you and tell you, I'm not lying to you now. Here's what really happened. Wow. How can I be mad? I want to be mad at my son now. He told me the truth. I can't. He told me the truth, though. That's the mindset you have to have. Little things, yes, they're big changes. It's not, because the Melech idea is a central idea. I get it. But it makes it seem like, oh, he's the Melech. He's going to zap us. No, he's the Melech and he loves you. And that's what we should be focusing on. The shofar is counteracting our life the way we really want to be. And we should close our eyes for a moment and listen to the shofar and say, you know what? There are a lot of shvarim times and truah times, but there's a lot of tekiah times. There's a lot of tekiah times in life. And then ultimately there's a tekiah gadol time. Tekiah b'shofar gadol, l'chei resena. Set us free. Mirtz Hashem, with that, it will help us think about this day of being a day where it's between us and our dads. Our dad, Avinu Malkeinu, God in heaven. With that, Mirtz Hashem, we all should have a kesiva chasima tovah, la'alta chayim, tovim v'shalom.